How do you do? According to an old proverb, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Certainly the man in this story had a gift for trouble so great, he chose to be a forward observer in combat rather than go home. Another proverb was true of him. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing hope to a troubled world, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Fear and trembling may be an unseen aspect of the life of homeless people, but it's real. Fear of the unknown, of ever-present hunger, of rejection. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming those whom the world has dismissed. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission offers fresh clothing and showers, a safe bunk for the night and hearty meals, even medical and dental treatment in the mission clinic, all without charge to resident guests. Classes and counseling help each guest find the way out of their dilemma as pastors lead them to the one whose hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Meeting him transforms any person willing to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what this program celebrates. Now for broadcast around the earth. Here is program number 3259 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Rick, what are you doing with a policeman?
Ma'am, is this your son?
Yes.
We caught him and four other guys breaking and entering.
I don't believe it.
Your son is still young. Keep him away from those bad guys.
Oh, don't worry. His father will see to that. Get in here, Rick. Wait till your dad hears about this young man.
The man in our story was only 11 years old at his first arrest, but worse would come. This is the story of his redemption. The true testimony of Rick Murdoch from the classic files of Unshackled.
We were a Navy family living in San Diego when I was arrested for breaking and entering. I blame my buddies and they blame me, but the police believed me and kept them in jail. I had already stolen money from Mom's purse. I made new friends and one of them went with me to a hardware store where we each stole a hunting knife. He told his mother, so I worked solo from then on. At 15, I fled my home for Los Angeles, where I got a job with a burglar alarm company. School officials discovered my truancy and notified my parents. Back to school I went till I was 17 and joined the Army. By then, I was an alcoholic, like my parents. I became a paratrooper because the extra pay would buy a lot of booze. In Kentucky, I was assigned the job of fireman for the barracks. I fired the furnace at night, giving me keys to many buildings, including the post laundry shop, which made it easy to steal uniforms and sell them.
You've been selling uniforms?
Yeah. Give me extra money for booze.
You're something else, Murdoch. They'll hang you out to dry if you're caught.
I lead a charmed life.
You better hope so. We're on our way to Korea.
Hey, I'm putting in for a 30-day leave before we go to war.
Good luck with that. I hear they're not grand leave to anybody.
When I didn't get leave, I went AWOL for 13 days. During that time, I married a girl, 16. I was 18. After I returned to camp, I discovered that nobody had missed me, so I left again and finally turned myself in at San Pedro. I went AWOL twice after that, and a court-martial gave me 6 months in the stockade and loss of two-thirds of my pay.
First time I was ever in the officers' club, Rick.
Yeah, it's not much.
We've got better Halloween decorations in the service club than they've got here.
The only good thing about having to set up this place for a party is the chance it gives us.
Chance for what?
To escape. If we walk out after we finish setting up this table, nobody's going to notice till we're long gone. The two of us walked all night to Santa Maria. By then, we were tired of walking and looked for an easier way to travel. We found a car with the keys in the ignition and started driving. Yeah, the gas tank's almost empty.
Don't look at me. I don't have any money.
I don't either, but I have an idea.
Your ideas are dangerous.
You know, you can always get out and walk.
What's your idea?
Let him pump the gas, and while he's hanging up the hose, we'll be on our way. Guys like us are the reason why they make you pay first these days. We parted company in El Segundo, and I turned myself in at Fort MacArthur. They shipped me to Camp Cook for court-martial, where I got another 6 months for escaping and another month of being AWOL. Altogether, I had 13 months to do. I was assigned to work in the guardhouse mess hall, giving me all the food I wanted. Life was easy until one day another prisoner and I were clowning around in the mess hall.
Hey, Rick, man, you want to play frisbee?
Who's got a frisbee?
Right here, man. Come on, catch it.
Got it. Whatever thought of using a pot lid for a frisbee?
Come on, man, throw it back, huh?
All right, here it comes.
Okay. Oh, hey, you threw it over my head, man.
No coordination. That's your problem.
What do you guys think you're doing?
Throwing a frisbee, Sarge. What's it to you?
Don't you talk like that to me.
Why not? You're a prisoner, same as we are.
Well, I've still got my stripes.
That'll change after your court-martial.
Not a chance. I'm innocent.
Yeah, sure. You know, we're all innocent. There isn't a guilty guy in the guardhouse.
Hey, Rick, catch the frisbee, man.
All right, you guys. I'm turning you both in. After I talk to the mess sergeant, you'll be out there digging ditches.
Well, he followed through with his threat. And that afternoon, my buddy and I were both outside trying to push lawn rollers uphill.
I can't do it, man. No way can I push this over this hump.
Same with me. Let's work together. First we push your roller, then we push mine.
Look who's coming to encourage us.
Well, how come you guys aren't throwing a frisbee?
Because of a sergeant who's all chicken.
Talk out of turn, and I'll see if I can have you move from lawn work to digging ditches.
Yeah, go ahead. But you've already bought yourself trouble.
Trouble? From you? That's very funny.
Oh, so it's funny. Laugh once, laugh loud, and then don't laugh anymore. My buddy and I laid our plans carefully. We agreed to wait till 2 a.m. when the sergeant awaiting trial would be asleep. Then we'd strike, throwing a blanket over his head so he couldn't see who was beating him. We used our boots, and as the sergeant was trying to get away, he fell down the stairs screaming in pain. He never saw us, but the guards knew.
Into the box, Murdoch.
What have I done to get solitary?
If you don't know, I'll let you guess. Did you know the sergeant was blinded by the beating he got?
Yeah, too bad. Sorry to hear it.
I'll bet you are. You'll be sorrier after a couple of weeks in the box.
The box had about as much room as a doghouse. The bed was made of 2x6s. A prisoner was locked up without clothes, so I did a lot of running in place to keep warm. At night, between 10:30 and 4 in the morning, a blanket was handed in, but the guards found a way to circumvent the warmth. They opened the peephole and peered in at me.
Who's in there? Answer the question.
Okay.
Let's hear your name and serial number.
Forget it.
I will, in a minute. First, though, I've got a water pump fire extinguisher, and the nozzle fits right through the peephole. A couple of pumps and... Enjoy the blanket, Murdoch.
After staying up all night with a wet blanket, I soon learned to answer when the guard asked me for my name and serial number. Regulations put a limit of 15 days on the time a prisoner could be kept in solitary. At midnight on the 15th day, they took me out and led me to the guard room.
Glad to be out of the box, Murdoch?
You know it.
How about a cup of coffee?
You bet.
Help yourself. The pot's full.
Thanks.
Sugar and cream? on the table.
Okay.
No hard feelings about the fire extinguisher?
What fire extinguisher?
You're learning. That's the way to get along as a prisoner.
Don't worry, I get it.
You better hurry up and finish that cup of coffee.
What next?
In 10 minutes, you go back into the black box.
I just came out. And 15 days is all the regs allow.
That's right. You done the limit. 15 days. Came out at midnight, right?
Right.
At 12:30, you go back in and do another stretch of 15 days.
Altogether, I did 3 months and 15 days in the box. Never more than 15 days at a time. Somehow, after a total of 292 days in the guardhouse, I was released for good behavior. I volunteered to go back to my unit that was fighting in Korea. I went aboard ship as a prisoner, but my handcuffs were taken off as we went through the Golden Gate. In Korea, I worked as a forward observer with a mortar company.
You gonna rotate back to the States, Rick?
Nah, I like it here.
Well, you like war?
Yeah. Something wrong with that?
No, but I can't wait to go home.
I got nothing to go back to.
I thought you were married.
Yeah, she got a divorce and married some other guy.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm staying here in Korea. Keeps me out of trouble.
Shortly, we'll hear more about Rick's time in the Army. Most men take pride in fixing things on their own, without help from others. But few men who fail at life can fix themselves. And that's where the men's division at Pacific Garden Mission comes in. They regenerate men by introducing them to a man who can change their lives for good. Whether a man stays at the mission overnight, or for a week or longer, he hears the good news that he doesn't have to live in darkness and uncertainty. There is a way, footsteps he can follow that guarantee success if he faints not. And those are the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Some men who hearken to his call join the Bible program at the mission and stay for months, or even a year, growing in knowledge of their Savior. Many are reconciled to estranged family members, find jobs, and rejoice in new life. To learn more about this ministry to men, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I went to Korea as a private, left as a sergeant, so I redeemed my Army career during the war. But when I shipped back to Fort Lewis, Washington, they told me I still had 292 days to serve because of the time lost in the stockade. So I took 30 days leave. That's when I met Gloria.
You were living in Hawaii when Pearl Harbor was attacked?
Yeah. Dad was in the Navy. I was just a kid, but I remember the planes going over, dropping bombs. We moved back to San Diego right after that.
Well, where else have you lived, Rick?
Japan, China, all over.
I've never been anywhere but here in Washington.
Stick with me, kid. We'll go places.
Are you going to stay in the Army?
Nah. I'm getting out when my time's up. This peacetime Army is boring. Gloria and I were married. I didn't think of myself as an alcoholic, but I got drunk and beat up a store owner and tore up his place. The Army busted me back to corporal, and the store owner put a $25,000 peace bond on me, keeping me out of Tacoma. I got a general discharge under honorable conditions, and we moved to San Diego. I went back to the burglar alarm company and got my old job. Working there gave me access to many stores, many opportunities to steal. I took Gloria with me. This is the place.
A liquor store?
One of our best clients.
Well, how do you get in without setting off the burglar alarm?
I installed the system myself, and I'm the guy who services it. Besides, I have a key. I can't lose.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Keep an eye out for anyone that comes along. If you see a police car, Give a little beep on the horn.
Well, they might think I want help.
Well, don't lay on the horn, just a beep.
Well, what if they ask me why I'm waiting out here?
Tell them the truth, that your husband is the burglar alarm man and he's inside making a small repair.
Well, if it's okay to be there, then why even bother with a lookout?
Because I don't want to walk out the door with an armload of bottles and run right into the fuzz.
Well, you're not taking any money, are you?
They'd miss it first thing in the morning. But they won't miss any bottles until they take inventory. Yeah, they'll figure a shoplifter got them.
Well, they might blame the burglar alarm man.
Not a chance. This time I'm only taking enough bottles for the party. And a few extra.
You made so many trips, you must have emptied out the store.
I was careful to take the bottles off the back of the shelf. By the time the partners discover it, they'll be blaming each other.
Well, why did you take so much?
Oh, we need plenty for the party, don't we? And then I picked up a few bottles for myself.
Rick, I'm afraid you're an alcoholic.
I'm not. My parents are.
Well, you drink enough to be one.
I don't have the shakes, so I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not dependent on this stuff.
Well, it's some kind of dependence. You get bombed every night.
That's just so I can go to sleep. But I don't need it. I really don't. I drank heavily, and I tried pot and heroin while I was in the guardhouse, but neither seemed to do much for me. My real addiction was amyl nitrate, an inhaler. Children came, but being a family man didn't deter me from my wild ways. As a burglar alarm service man, I stole clothing, appliances, and liquor so successfully that my income from larceny equaled my legitimate salary. We bought a home in San Diego in my parents' name because I had opened a business to fence my stolen items. By then, my dad was retired from the Navy.
Your folks want to add a room onto the house and live with us?
Yes, they'll pay for it.
I don't think that's a good idea, Rick.
Why not?
Nobody wants to live with their in-laws. Your mother plays favorites with the kids.
It would help them and us.
How would it help us?
Well, they could chip in on the bills and watch the kids when we're gone.
I think you're asking for trouble.
We had the room built and my folks paid for it and moved in with us. We were not church-going family and didn't know how to avoid the friction that came. Mom did play favorites with the children, but there were so many other problems with four adults trying to live together without God's word to guide us. The family disintegrated into squabbling, which led to constant strife between all of us. My dishonesty was catching up with me, and we had a big blow-up and moved out. Dad came over to see me, but I ordered him off the property. Get out of here, and don't come back or I'll run you down with the car you came in.
Rick, I don't like him, but he's your father.
My parents are dead to me. Mom, you stay away from us, you hear? You and Dad better not come near the kids. Don't even call. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have any parents. I was consumed with hatred. I made a doll that I called Mom and stuck pins in it like a voodoo doll. I told my sisters that as far as I was concerned, my parents were dead. Year after year passed, and my kids didn't see their grandparents. My behavior worsened. I stayed away from home whenever the mood struck me or an illicit opportunity came my way. Then I lost my job, and all this was just too much for Gloria.
What brought you home this time? Have all the women in San Diego figured out that you can't be trusted?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, that's understandable. It took me a while to figure it out myself.
What are you talking about, Gloria?
How's this? I've had enough.
Enough what?
Enough of your philandering, your lies, your dishonest ways. I want you to pack up and get out of here and don't come back.
Gloria, I want to change my life. I really do. I'm ashamed of myself.
Oh, take that phony expression off your face, Rick. You're not ashamed of anything you've done, and you know it.
But I'm serious. I want to straighten up.
Oh.
Listen, what if I invite Walters to come over?
Huh? What's your first name?
Walters is a guy at the place where I used to work.
Before they fired you for being unreliable? The answer is no.
Well, wait, Walters is a Jesus freak. He was always praying and reading the Bible at lunchtime. Maybe he can help me.
I don't care what you do anymore, Rick. It's over between us. Invite him if you want to, but he is not coming into this house.
I thought I could get my job back by appealing to Walters, by faking an interest in Christianity. After all, I reasoned, he was gullible. He wasn't street smart like me. So I called him. He was willing to come right away, but he wanted to bring a friend. I didn't want the friend, so Walters agreed to come after church the next day. I took him out back to the tool shed where I conned him.
I'm glad to hear that you're interested in following Jesus, Rick.
Yeah. Well, religion's never really been important in my family, so I don't know much about God.
Oh, he knows all about you.
Is that supposed to be good news?
No, because the Bible says, "Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite?"
Thanks.
It's not just you, Rick. It's me too, and everybody else on earth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The good news is this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, sent Jesus Christ, his only Son, to pay the penalty for our sins. That's why he died on the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Man, I never knew anybody who knew the Bible like that.
We're having a movie tonight at church. Will you come?
Why, sure, I'd like to. I thought I had him hooked. So I sat through the film that did nothing for me. Afterward, there was a question and answer session with the pastor. A woman questioned why everyone was labeled a sinner.
The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Oh, come on now. There are lots of good people in the world.
We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
When the service ended, Walters asked me if I wanted to talk some more before we went home, and I knew for sure I had him hooked. We sat on a bench, and he gave me a tract to read. As I read the scripture verses, the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of my heart, and tears ran down my face. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and ask your forgiveness. I believe Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead. Thank you for his sacrifice. I'm asking you to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, God.
Would you like to read the prayer at the back of the tract?
I did.
Read it out loud.
I can't talk.
Rick, you believe, don't you? Praise God. You're a new man in Christ.
If you ever tell anybody I cried, I'll kill you. One of the reasons I never went to church was I thought going to church was for sissies. And there I was, acting like a sissy, crying. This was February 2nd, 1975, and I left church that night with Jesus.
Well, did the church fall down?
No.
What happened?
I became a Christian.
You?
Me. I always thought Christians were sissies, and now I'm one of them.
You're crying.
Oh, shut up.
Well, that's the Rick I know.
No. It's real, Gloria. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins on the cross.
We'll see how long this lasts.
Nobody forced this on me. I did it of my own free will, and I won't force it on any of you.
Good.
Look, you don't have to go with me, but I'm going to church from now on.
Whatever.
Where's the Bible? I know we have one around here, and I want to start reading it. All that week, I stayed in God's Word, reading the Bible. On Friday night, I went to a Bible study at church. I wouldn't touch alcohol, and after 3 days, my trash mouth was gone. I had no desire to cheat on my wife. There was no doubt that I was born again, a new man in Christ. There was only one problem. I hadn't spoken to my parents in 11 years. And as I read the Bible, the Lord began to trouble me with the broken relationship, the hatred I had harbored. What to do?
Next week, we'll hear the conclusion of Rick's story. Psalm 107 says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." Listening friend, have you experienced the loving kindness of the Lord without knowing the source? 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You can do that now, wherever you are. There are no special words. God looks on the heart. Speaking through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36, God says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. A radio programmer wrote us, "I'm thrilled beyond words to be able to broadcast Unshackled." We feel the same way and hope the manager of your station will keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3259, heard in part one of the classic true story of Rick Murdoch, where Steve Downs, Liz Weifler, Joby Cerny, Adam Sweeters, Evan Armacost, and David Mink. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Odell and Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.